You are about to participate in the most ambitious culinary experiment ever imagined.
This competition is going to test everything.
Adapt quickly to anything. I mean anything. The wildest day of your life starts right now.
All new 24 and 24 Last Chef Standing. Sunday night at 8 on Food Network. Stream on Max.
Hey there. Ever wonder what happens to all those amazing screenplays that never make it to the big screen? Well, wonder no more. Welcome to Table Read Podcast, where we bring those undiscovered gems to life. Picture this, talented actors giving incredible performances with the occasional laugh or blooper thrown in, produced by award-winning pros. From drama to comedy, TV pilots to feature films, there's something for everyone. And guess what? We release new episodes every week, so don't forget to hit that subscribe button. Table Read Podcast, where great stories finally get their chance to shine.
Hey everybody, welcome to the Dungeon Cast. I'm Brian.
And I'm Will.
This is the podcast where we talk about everything Dungeons and Dragons, and today we're talking about new Dragonborn.
Subraces. Hey, Brian.
Hey, Will.
How you doing today?
I'm doing fucking great, man. Yeah.
I'm doing pretty good, too.
Start the show with more F-bombs. Everybody loves that.
Yeah, absolutely. Don't they all? Never hear bad things about our cursing.
No. Welcome to our show.
to the Dungeon Guest.
We talk about Dungeons & Dragons here.
Yeah, we do it with dirty mouths.
And we're going to talk about, we're going to say the word dragon a lot. And yeah, we're going to tack on some suffix stuff, I guess.
It's true. Today we're talking about new Dragonborn stuff. So recently, Fizban's Treasury of Dragons came out. By recently, I say about a month and some change
Fizban
ago.
Fizban!
And it's got a lot of juicy dragon stuff. And we're almost through the bulk of it. And we're pretty much ending it on the Dragonborn stuff, which I'm excited for.
Well, Will, you're not wrong. Fizban did come out. We are talking about dragon stuff. We talked about the Drake Warden and all the gem dragons.
We did. And we talked about the Ascended Dragon Monk.
That was cool.
Yes, and now we're talking about Dragonborn.
That image where the Ascended Dragon Monk, where he's like in front of the gold dragon.
Yes, I liked it. I put it in the thumbnail. Yeah. It was really nice. So the original playable race features from the Player's Handbook were not bad by any means, but I always did find them a bit underwhelming when compared to, say, tieflings or elves. You know, multiple spells, different sub-race options, actual dark vision in a game where they all have dark vision. Why doesn't the dragon character have dark vision? I don't know.
I have dark vision.
Yeah. Even the sub-races that we introduced today don't have dark vision. So
I actually don't have dark vision.
Yeah, none of us do. Except for unless you're a D&D character. Tieflings and elves actually get a ton of options considering their expansions from Mordenkainen's Tome of Foes.
Okay.
So not only were they already a little bit better than Dragonborn were originally, but they got way expanded upon.
Okay.
Well, now it's the Dragonborn's turn, and we have three new sub-races based off of the three major types of true dragons. There are updated breath features and newly added features like flight and psychic powers and more.
Remind me what a true dragon is.
The idea of the true dragons is like you have chromatic, you have metallic, and you have gem dragons, right? And everything else is either a permutation or a spinoff. So like a wyvern's not a true dragon. A fairy dragon's not a true dragon. A pseudo dragon's not a true dragon.
Yeah, those are like that show Joey, which was just the character from Friends out of universe doing a show about the character Joey.
I was like, where are you going with this? No, that's a good analog. Okay, for sure. Yeah, absolutely.
Did you ever watch any episodes of Joey?
No, I did not. To be fair, I didn't watch Friends either. So
Friends sucks. Get at me.
I think Friends was a product of its time, I say.
You're
as a person
right
who never watched
that.
It. Yeah.
The 90s had cool stuff.
And it had not cool stuff,
and
too.
It had Friends.
It had Friends.
And Seinfeld. How do you feel about Seinfeld?
I fucking hate Seinfeld.
Thank God.
I hate
Thank you.
Seinfeld.
90s sitcoms are bad. Most of them are bad. Saved by the Bell? Yes,
right.
I'll take it.
Okay, let's. We're having an aside now. If we're talking about 90s TV shows, give me Buffy the Vampire Slayer.
Hey,
that's
a
jam.
Good one.
That's my jam.
The old
right
Supernatural.
There. I never watched that. But
I
didn't
either.
Oh, you're talking about Buffy was the old
Supernatural. Buffy was
Supernatural
before Supernatural took its place
Buffy
ended.
Give me Buffy the Vampire Slayer all day. That's all I need.
Didn't that have a spinoff show about
Angel?
Angel.
Angel,
yeah.
Which was okay. It was okay. Yeah.
So we're not talking about Angel. We're talking about Buffy.
We're talking about Dragonborn is what we're talking about now. So let's get back to it.
Yeah.
So before we dive into the new sub races, though, let's do a brief overview of the OG racial template for when we compare and contrast.
The original gangsters.
The original Dragonborn. Did you want to do this read, or do you want, maybe I'll do the front half, you'll do the back half?
Yeah.
Okay.
Let's go I'll for do that.
Okay. So original Dragonborn, Dragonborn traits. Your draconic heritage manifests in a variety of traits you share with other Dragonborn. Your ability score increases are to strength and charisma. This is actually one of the first things we're going to see, because, again, all the new sub-races and all the new races, they are abandoning the built-in ability scores, and it's based off whatever you choose for your background for your character, which I think is the way it should be.
I like them having the, like, so it's 2 strength, 1 charisma, and I like that is like, hey, here's what it usually is.
Yeah, like, you know, and I do like that there is a suggestion, because, yeah, like, the strength represents how strong dragons are, and the charisma, again, dragons have an incredibly powerful presence. Yeah. So, yeah. Age, young Dragonborn grow quickly. They walk hours after hatching, attain the size and development of an adult at 10 years old. No,
of a
10-year-old child by age 3, holy crap, and reach adulthood by 15. They live to be around 80. Alignment, Dragonborn tend to be, you know, 2 extremes. Now, I think this was written back when we only had Chromatic Metallic. So, yeah, okay. They were drawn to the extremes of, like, lawful good and chaotic evil.
More now, geared toward, like, a paladin or a cleric.
Yeah, but now with neutral dragons, that kind of doesn't make as much sense anymore. Because now not only...
How do
only,
you have a neutral version of this?
Right. Now, not only is there Bahamut and Tiamat, but there's Sardaukar, so they can gravitate to any of those.
Love
extreme
you,
neutrality. Okay. Their size, medium, speed, base walk, 30 feet. None of this has really changed. Okay, here we get into some of the different stuff. So, draconic ancestry. You have draconic ancestry. Choose one type of dragon from the draconic ancestry table. Your breath weapon and damage resistance are determined by the dragon type as shown in the table. And at the time, it was the 5 main metallics and the 5 main chromatics. So, we're talking red, black, green, blue, white, and we're talking gold, silver, brass, bronze, and copper. Mm. Those were your options. You got a breath weapon with it. Your draconic ancestry determined the size, shape, and damage type. When you use your breath weapon, each creature in the area of the exhalation must make a saving throw, the type of which is determined by your draconic ancestry. DC is 8 plus your con mod plus your proficiency bonus. A creature takes 2d6 damage on a failed save, half as much on a successful one, and then this damage scaled to a 3d6 at 6th level, and a 4d6 at 11th level, and a 5d6 at 16th level.
So much like a cantrip. That way your ability doesn't go to the wayside necessarily as you level.
Right, and then after you use your breath weapon, you can't use it until a short or long rest. Now, this all gets changed with the 3 sub-races, and I'm very happy with it.
Okay.
And we'll talk about that when we get to the newer sub-races.
So with your breath weapon being, like, determined by your draconic ancestry, that would just fall into, like, lightning, fire, like, that sort of thing?
Yes, exactly.
And then the shape would be either, like, a line or a cone?
Yes, based off... Now, this is for the original Dragonborn. The shape varies based off type. They unify it in the newer sub races, which we'll get to, where it's a line no matter what.
Okay.
It's a line no matter what. The type is still based off of your draconic ancestry, but the damage and how it scales is also changed, and I much prefer it. Also, the usage amount, the way they calculate that changes, and I like the way they do that too. We'll get to it though after we're finished with
cone, cylinder, and sphere magic seem to be more powerful than lines typically.
Yeah, I think so. And maybe I'm misremembering, but we'll get to it. I do remember it being unified, though.
Okay.
The OG Dragonborn then gets damage resistance based off their dragon type. And then that's it. They get their language and that's it. And
One language.
Just, well, they get Dragonborn and common.
Yeah, okay.
Yeah. So the few things I want to note on the Player's Handbook Dragonborn are these points. Number one, I think they are underwhelming in comparison to some of the other races, even early on in 5e, like I said before. There's only 2 features, specifically the breath weapon, and the breath weapon ends up having better damage scaling later. Not something huge, but enough to feel better as a player when choosing to take the action, which I think is really important.
Okay.
I think a lot of times we gloss over that aspect of, like, but how does it feel as a player doing it? You know what I mean?
You're absolutely right.
A lot of people do damage calculation, which is cool. That's awesome. And I do that too sometimes. But, like, I think we gloss over, but how does it feel? Does it feel successful? Do you feel effective? Like, did you have a cool moment?
Yeah. And a lot of that comes down to player dungeon master, like, the chemistry that you have there? Yeah, like, absolutely. Is your dungeon master going to help you explain what it looks like? Because taking a big deep breath and then letting out this fucking heat or whatever from your mouth, that
should feel cool.
It should look and feel cool. Yeah. It should be something that gets described, you know?
Yeah, absolutely.
At least the first few times until, and like, it kind of gets like...
It should be something that when it happens, you know, and it hits, like, the enemy should be, you know... number one feeling that heat, but you as a team should be, fuck yeah, that was awesome.
Yeah. As a dungeon master, I always try to, like, if you obliterate somebody with something, the enemy next to them should be like, oh fuck.
Yeah, exactly.
You
know,
like, I always try to include that. Absolutely. It's funny.
It is. And it's a great, that's a great DM technique for sure. Before the new subraces came out, I would have originally made two changes to make this more in line with the other racial options.
Before Fizban.
Before Fizban. Mm-hmm. This would have been my idea. Number one, proficiency in intimidation to represent dragon fear of their ancestry, and an increase to the damage of the breath. Those are the changes I would have made. Now let's see the changes that they did make.
Yeah, I agree. There should be a little more potent than a cantrip.
Potent than the cantrip.
It kind of is, right?
What, the dragon breath?
As it was. It looked cantrippy-ish to me.
It was basically a cantrip.
Yeah.
But without the ability to do it every turn. So worse than a cantrip. Yeah.
Yeah.
So the changes that they did make, I think, are probably better than what I originally would have thought of. So let's get into it, starting with the one closest to the original Dragonborn, Chromatic Dragonborn.
Okay.
So Dragonborn with chromatic ancestry claim the raw elemental power of chromatic dragons. Mm-hmm. The vibrant colors of black, blue, green, red, and white dragons gleam in those Dragonborn's scaled skin and in the deadly energy of their breath weapons. Theirs is the raw elemental fury of the volcano, of biting Arctic winds, and of raging lightning storms, as well as the subtle whisper of swamp and forest, toxic and corrosive.
Ooh, I got chills.
So, of the three new subraces we're covering today, this one is the closest to the original Player's Handbook version. It's essentially a souped-up version of the original Dragonborn.
Okay, nice.
So, Chromatic Dragonborn traits. You have the following racial traits.
Get ready for this DLC, everybody.
Creature type. You are humanoid. Size, you are medium. Speed, your walking speed is 30 feet. All the same as the original, of course. Mm-hmm. I don't think that changes for any of them.
That's just 5e. You can't really manipulate that stuff too
5e,
much.
5e, you're medium, you'll walk 30 feet. There's nothing you can do about it.
Unless you're short. And you then might you have walk dark 25. Vision. That's true. And then if you're a barbarian, you get to go 40, I guess. I don't know.
Yeah. So, chromatic ancestry. You have a chromatic dragon ancestor granting you a special magical affinity. Choose one kind of dragon from the chromatic ancestry table. This determines the damage type for your other traits as shown in the table. And again, it's your five. It's blue, green, black, white, red. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. And your breath weapon matches. When you take the attack action on your turn, you can replace one of your attacks with an exhalation of magical energy in a 30-foot line that is 5 feet wide. Each creature in the area must make a dexterity saving throw. The DC is 8 plus your con mod plus your proficiency bonus, so that part's the same. Not the little bit before it, though.
Also 5e. Scale everything like that. Yeah.
Well, actually, before I go on, so number one, already, love this. You integrate it with your multiple attack. Most Dragonborn are going to be a fighter or a paladin or someone
They're
going to
get
front.
The multi-attack.
You get the multi-attack. And how fucking cool is it? It's like, bam, bam, oh yeah? Whoa!
Yeah.
You know, it's fucking cool. It's like, holy shit.
Fucking hammer to the dome.
Like, he sliced off Bob's head and then he breathed fire on Jeff. Like,
He sliced off Bob's hand, and then he grabbed Bob's arm where his hand was, and he breathed lightning straight into his fucking arm, man. Bob! Jeff was like, oh my god, and next turn, backhand, and then breath again.
Exactly. It's way cooler. It's just way cooler, and I think the DPS is also just much better, so.
Yeah, smack vomit is way cooler than vomit, and then never see it again.
Yeah, exactly, yes. So on a failed save, the creature takes a D10 damage of the type associated with your... chromatic ancestry. On a successful save, it takes half as much. This damage increases by 1d10 when you reach 5th, 11th, and 17th level. So this maxes out at 4d10 by end game.
That's good. And that's a lot.
I think it's actually fairly comparable to the other one, but with two things. Number one, d10s are funner to roll. Mm-hmm. But number two, it is slightly more DPS across the board. Especially, I think once you reach 5th level, it outscales the OG Dragonborn.
I'm looking up Eldritch Blast. I want to compare it to Eldritch Blast.
Okay. I think it's basically Eldritch Blast.
Yeah,
because
now we're doing D10s.
It's like Firebolt, really. Blast. It's more like Firebolt, because Eldritch Blast is multiple attacks, while Firebolt is one attack. that scales, and it's
a
D10.
You're right about that. Just like an Eldritch Blast is like a go-to. It is like the best cantrip.
It's the best cantrip.
Damage-wise, yes, right?
Undisputed.
1D10 force damage, and then 11th level. Yeah, four beams. So you're really getting up there.
Yeah, absolutely.
This is cool. You're right about the Firebolt thing, though.
Right. And then, so last thing about the breath is you can use your breath weapon a number of times equal to your proficiency bonus, and you regain all expended uses when you finish a long rest. Now, this is a weird rebalancing. I do like it, though, because the old way is, like, you only got one, but it was every short rest, so you could do it X amount of times. This is tied to your proficiency bonus, so you're going to start off with two. I think by end game you have six breaths that you could get in a day.
Yeah.
I like this better for a couple reasons. Number one, it's really cool in a big fight of you just being able to pop it off multiple times. Just bam, 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 bam. You really feel like a dragon person that point.
Yeah.
Rather than, oh, I burned my one.
Right.
Another thing, and I think we deal with this in our campaign, specifically Super Quest Saga.
Great show. Go watch it.
Yeah, it's please, on please all your do.
Podcasting please do. Apps yes. and YouTube.
We're getting close to the end. I cannot wait to
crescendo it. We are on hiatus.
We are on hiatus.
Because then Freeland had a baby. Came.
So,
we were sick, and then the baby came.
Yeah.
The baby came early.
I digress. Super Quest Saga, where it's actually kind of rare to have more than one, maybe two fights in a day.
Exactly, especially the style of which we play that show.
That's more our style, but I think a lot of people feel that. And I think when you're a Dragonborn, it becomes like, oh, I only get to use this once per session. It only ever happens once per session.
Yeah, it's 5e feels like they really want you to take a short rest after everything, but how many of those little oranges can I eat in a day?
I only got so many orange slices.
I only have so much water on me. Like, are we near a lake? Like, what's up?
Yeah.
No, it really does feel like fight, take a rest. That's what they intend, especially for the warlock. But
that's kind of not the way it ends up working out.
It depends on your game, but yeah, like, who's realistically in a dungeon? Like, let's just sit here for an hour. Is that going to work?
Right.
I don't know.
I'm with you there.
It may or may not work.
It's this fixes that, DM. Though. This makes it so, like, hey, you get six. You could spread it out across your day however you want.
Yeah.
And I think it's excellent. Love it.
Do you want a pocket one for emergencies? Like, never hit zero? Like, you know, like your elixirs in Pokemon.
Exactly.
You either burned them all and you didn't know what you're doing, or you have nine of them at the
My
end of the
gameplay
game.
In Pokemon has changed so drastically. Ethers and elixirs just get used constantly. Because I'm like, who cares? I'm just going to use them.
Is now the time? Do I need fucking Fire Blast?
Right now?
Yes.
Yes, exactly. So, okay, the next feature is called Draconic Resistance. It's exactly the same as the old one. You resist the type that you breathe. Here's the new feature. You get a third feature that the old Dragonborn didn't get, Chromatic Warding. Starting at 5th level, as an action, you can channel your Draconic energy to protect yourself. For 1 minute, you become immune to the damage type associated with your Chromatic Ancestry. Once you use this trait, you can't do so again until you finish a long rest.
That's cool.
So I like this. It's not bad. This subrace. It's essentially a better version of the OG Dragonborn.
This is your overall kind of take on it.
Yeah, my overall take on it. Chromatic Warding is cool, but it is very situational.
Yes.
Yeah. Fire is probably the most common best element to have for this feature because fire is so common.
Lots of fire aspect stuff.
But it is campaign dependent. A good DM will of course make sure you get to shine with this feature at least once. In a major situation in a campaign. Like, if I have a player who's got Chromatic Warding and maybe it doesn't come up a lot, I'm going to make sure, like, okay, in this section of the story, Chromatic Warding is going to be so valuable and they're going to shine really brightly with this.
Yeah, like, this is, like, pertinent to the survival of the group maybe in some way. Like,
yeah.
Or you wouldn't have done as well without this sort of,
right.
Like, you know, don't, like, make a contingent, I guess, on, like, one character being the...
No, but make sure that, like, that, you know, it's just sad. It's like, oh, I never got to use my Chromatic Warding. Like, it's a waste of a feature, you know what I mean?
Yeah, exactly.
That's always a sucky feeling. But, I will say this. There's a flip side to what I just said about the fire, though. Fire is the best for Chromatic Warding because it is so common. But at the same time, if you choose it, it's also your offensive breath, and it's the worst offensive breath to have, besides Necrotic, which we'll get into later, because it is the most commonly resisted by enemies.
Yes.
So it's give and
sword.
Take. Double-edged sword. Yeah, so.
Double-edged burning arrow. I don't even know.
Sure, absolutely.
A coal hot on both sides.
Should this subrace still have that intimidation proficiency that I proposed earlier in the day? What do you think?
Do you think
it's good where it is with it's got the redone breath?
Mm-hmm.
It's got the same resistance it used to have, and it's got the new Chromatic Warding.
I mean, I I kind of like the upgrade. It feels like they're rebalancing things.
Yeah, I agree.
And this kind of brings this class, these subclasses, back up to where I feel like other classes
should
are.
Be. Yeah, races, but yeah.
I love tying things to proficiency.
I do too.
I am a huge fan of that across the board. I don't want to do it for everything, but an ability like that with like the breath, that's the right feel. Like, as you get more powerful, you should be able to pop that thing off like a bunch of times.
Yeah, sure.
Like, if I want to do it three times in one fight, that should be a thing at the level you're at. You deserve it.
Agreed. Yeah. I think this subrace is really good. I think it's totally on par with everything else. I'd still throw in the intimidation proficiency if it was up to me, just because I think of the three subraces we're talking about today, Chromatic is the least powerful. So it is a step down from the Metallic and Gem ones we're going to talk about later. And also, when I think about Dragon Fear, I do tend to think Chromatics are the ones that utilize that the most.
Yeah, I think I'm feeling like it should still be there, almost.
The intimidation proficiency?
The intimidation.
Yeah, I think it should be there, yeah. It's not there, but I wish it was.
But I see like a lot more of like the slender, like kind of meeker Dragonborn too. Like, they're not all like thick, burly, like they're beast mode monsters all the time.
Yeah, and guess what? Like, you get the natural boost to your intimidation for being Dragonborn and having that Dragon Fear effect or whatever. But like, maybe you're just bad at it anyways.
You know, yeah, it's just
a little smidge of a boost.
Yeah.
You'll see when we talk about the next two, like, that the Chromatic ones are not as powerful.
Okay.
We'll do that.
It just, the fact that they took it away feels more in line.
Well, they never took anything away. Oh, I was just suggesting that it should always have been there.
Oh, okay.
And, like, I was asking if, even though this is more powerful, should it still get that intimidation proficiency that I proposed?
I mean,
you don't think so?
You don't have to do that on the stat sheet. Like, maybe your world kind of provides that for you.
Fair enough.
Or like the dragon lore you're bringing to the table as a game master might like imply because you're a Dragonborn. But I feel like D&D wise, like with the way the game is going now, that like kind of leveling that stuff off and not making those assumptions or having the player make those assumptions is kind of what they're going for.
I think you're right. Absolutely. Yeah. But let's take a short rest.
Okay.
Hello, everybody. This is Tom Case.
And this is Will Stark.
Will, could you imagine if we had our own podcast?
Dude, could you imagine?
What if the Loch Ness Monster was real?
Do you think they would open, like, essentially a quote-unquote Jurassic Park for this?
Oh, no. They're not going to let anyone look at it.
What if your house was haunted?
Mm-hmm. Let's say it was a woman. She wants companionship.
No.
You know what I mean? Like, I'm not talking about love or sex or anything.
Okay, cool.
You know, I was going to bring this up, but I knew you were going to say no, so.
What if someone close to you was a werewolf?
Set up a camera, because it would still be a full moon, so she would turn into a wolf monster. Go out in the night, probably kill some people. Oops.
Yeah, I mean, nothing I can do about that.
The best in What If Entertainment. Just search Dude, Could You Imagine? Anywhere podcasts can be found.
Selling a little or a lot? Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage to the first real-life store stage, all the way to did we just hit a million orders stage? Shopify is there to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell everywhere. From their all-in-one e-commerce platform to their in-person POS system, wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify's got you covered. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout, 15% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. And sell more with less effort thanks to Shopify Magic, your AI-powered all-star. Shopify is great. They're taking businesses of all sizes, cradling them in their arms, to help them grow by giving them the tools they need. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S., and Shopify is the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Plus, Shopify's award-winning 24/7 help is there to support your success at every step of the way. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/dungeoncast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/dungeoncast now to grow your business no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/dungeoncast. Hey folks, I'm here today to tell you about Visible. Something unfortunate about wireless services, what you see isn't always what you get. But with Visible, what you see is what you get. No perception check required. Switch to Visible, the wireless company that makes wireless visible. Get a one-line plan with unlimited 5G data powered by Verizon for just $25 a month, taxes and fees included. If you're looking for a carrier that is upfront with no hidden fees, then go to Visible.com to make the switch. You don't need more than one line of wireless to save, and you're going to be getting unlimited 5G data powered by Verizon. Visible is the wireless carrier that's constantly operating from a zone of truth. In their quest for total transparency, Visible wants you to know monthly rate on the Visible plan. For data management practices and additional terms, visit Visible.com. Save on wireless without the hassle. Switch to Visible today and save at Visible.com.
We've returned.
Indeed. Indeed we have.
I don't normally get the slurps in, man, but now I got this cool mug. I got true. A new mug. We made a TikTok about it. Find us on TikTok.
I also got a new mug. It's from our merch store. Check the link in the description if you want a sweet Dungeon Cast mug.
We got a new merch store, and then I'm on Instagram by myself aside from the Dungeon Cast. BNDND underscore mirror the letters. You should find me BNDND. Because then it's BNDND underscore BNBND.
That's super confusing, Brian.
Well, don't worry about the second part.
Okay.
Just worry about B and D and D. Brian and Dungeons and Dragons. It's literally just all lowercase letters. You'll see me. I've got pictures of me and my kid on there. All
right. So back to Dragonborn, and we are now going to talk about Gem Dragonborn.
Nice.
So Gem Dragonborn. Gem Dragonborn.
No, we don't want to watch Dragonborn.
No. Gem Dragonborn.
There's a whole Reddit sub for that.
Partake of the heritage of Gem Dragons, who claim to be the heirs of Sardior, the Ruby Dragon. Check out our Gem Dragon episode if you want more about that. The colors and mysterious powers of Gem Dragons, amethyst, crystal, emerald, sapphire, and topaz, gleam in these Dragonborn's scaled skin and course through their veins. Theirs are the wonders of the mind, the force of will, the brilliant light of insight, and the resounding echo of discovery, but also the desiccation of despair.
Dang.
You want to talk about the Gem Dragonborn traits, Brian?
Yeah, I do.
All yours.
Let me take this thing from you. Gem Dragonborn traits. You have the following racial traits. You're a creature. You're a humanoid creature.
You are a person.
You are existing, bipedal, in a way. You're medium. Mm-hmm. Let's see. You have 30 feet walking speed. All things we've addressed earlier in the podcast. Gem ancestry. You have a gem dragon ancestor granting you a special magical affinity. Choose one kind of dragon from the gem ancestry table. This determines the damage type for your other traits as shown in the table.
Which I believe are, off the top of my head, because we don't have the table in front of us, thunder, force, psychic,
necrotic
radiant.
Yeah, I think you got it.
Yeah.
So the breath weapon. When you take the attack action on your turn, you can replace one of the attacks with an exhalation of magical energy in a 15-foot cone.
Mm-hmm.
Each creature in that area must make a DC dexterity saving throw of 8 plus your con plus your proficiency. On a failed save, the creature takes 1d10 damage of the type associated with your gem ancestry. On a successful save, it takes half as much damage. This damage increases by 1d10 when you reach 5th level. Making it 2d10, and then 11th level, you're going to get 3d10, 17th level, 4d10, just like the other thing.
Just like
Eldritch Blast.
Same with the numbers and all the other stuff.
I guess not just like Eldritch Blast, just like Firebolt.
Just like Firebolt.
Yeah. And not in a line, in a cone.
Yeah, which Firebolt is single target, so it's
Firebolt,
a little different.
This is nothing
it's
like...
It's kind of its own thing.
Only damage scaling.
Okay. I will say this, it is exactly like the Chromatic one, except for it's inherently better damage wise because you can choose force and psychic specifically, which are very rarely resisted.
Less resisting.
I mean, force is almost never resisted.
That's why Eldritch Blast is so good.
Yes, true that. But on the flip side, the thunder is also pretty solid, but necrotic and radiant are actually pretty poor offensive choices, especially necrotic. Necrotic is undisputedly the worst one you can choose if you're looking at a metagame kind of perspective, because it is, I think, the most widely resisted element by monsters, because there's so much evil monsters.
Yeah.
And so many of them resist necrotic.
They don't give a shit about your necrotic energy.
But
they are
like,
necrotic energy.
Yeah, maybe for an evil campaign when you're fighting things that aren't evil. Radiant is almost as bad with the caveat of it does have extra goodness against certain enemies.
Yeah, you do a little more. I think that's one of the only ones that actually does more damage sometimes.
Yeah, I know that it can cause, easier crits on zombies. Oh God, I'm so. It's been so long since I even looked at a zombie stat block.
It's been like 2 years since we did a zombie episode.
Yeah, it's true. I'm about to do a lot of zombie stuff pretty soon here. Spoilers for our Patreon. Anyways, let's get back to Dragonborn.
You can use your breath weapon a number of times equal to your proficiency bonus, and you regain all expended uses when you finish a long rest. Is that not? That's a long rest only, huh? Not short rest anymore.
Yeah, that's the new way they're doing it. Yeah.
And you're gonna get the draconic resistance. You have resistance to the damage type associated with your gem ancestry, so you could resist psychic damage
or force damage, which is super great. Sweet. Yeah, yeah, that's awesome.
So
yeah,
there's some clear winners here.
Yes, absolutely.
Well, okay. Psionic mind. You can send telepathic messages to any creature you can see within 30 feet of you. You don't need to share language with the creature for it to understand these messages, mm-hmm. but it must be able to understand at least one language to comprehend them. Mm-hmm. So,
and we're not done because they get another one.
Gemfly, starting at 5th level, you can use a bonus action to manifest spectral wings on your body. We've covered this a little bit already, huh? Mm-hmm. These wings last for 1 minute. For the duration, you gain a flying speed equal to your walking speed, in this case 30, mm-hmm. And can hover. Well, that's cool.
Yeah.
Once you use this trait, you can't do it again, ever, unless you rest for a long time.
Okay.
Which is a long rest.
So, thoughts. This is inherently way better than the Chromatic Dragon.
Yeah.
Because you get flight and you get psychic telepathy powers, plus your elements are better both defensively and offensively.
And even if you pick one of the bad ones...
It's still, you get flight and telepathy, limited telepathy, and limited flight, but you still get both.
And the bad ones are bad for the reasons we said.
Exactly. Like,
you probably don't want to take the necrotic
But they're fucking cool. Which I want to breathe radiant light on your face.
Which dragon was the necrotic one? Was that the topaz?
Topaz, okay. Yeah.
Oh, yeah, because they're nasty little sea devils.
Kind of, I guess devils. So. Yeah, kind of. I mean, I like it. They're just really grouchy about everything. They're not evil or anything.
They just have a bad attitude, and it results in necrotic energy.
Yeah, so here are my thoughts. Badass gem aesthetic, that's awesome. You got sapphire skin, that's fucking cool.
Yes.
The breath weapon has better selection of elements. Can you scroll up a bit? Psychic force, thunder, radiant, necrotic. Specifically, psychic force have very few enemies that resist them. Automatic telepathy is a much better feature than chromatic warding. It's the opposite of situational. It's great for stealth and subterfuge, great for communication with NPCs that don't share a language with any party member, and great for telling secret jokes, which is always fun.
Yeah, everybody loves secret jokes.
Yeah, getting flight at a relatively low level without burning spell slots and with hover is very nice, and catapults the subrace as far and above the most powerful of than the last two that we talked about.
So this is the year, we're talking about dragons a lot.
We are talking about dragons this month.
But we know a lot about hovering because of beholders. And we've covered a lot of the physics of hovering throughout this year's beholder episodes. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. You can get body slammed into the ground, and that's fine.
Yeah,
but
you're fine.
Like, you just...
You can't be knocked prone.
You just boost back up. You're good.
And you can't be knocked out of the sky.
Yeah. So there's nothing like it.
Yeah, yeah. There's nothing like this it. This is easily the best of the sub-races that we're talking about today.
You want to do the metallic?
Yeah, I can do metallic, but that's why I brought up the idea of maybe we should add like a dragon fear or an intimidation or something to this chromatic because
give it something to boost it back up to
it is now fallen behind yet again. If we liken it to the original Dragonborn,
you don't
get
to be OG though if you don't pick the chromatic. You know what I mean?
Yeah, it's true. And now we're gonna talk about metallic, which sits somewhere between the two when it comes to
like power scaling
optimization. If you will.
I see.
Yeah. So metallic Dragonborn. Dragonborn with metallic ancestry lay claim to the tenacity of metallic dragons, brass, bronze, copper, gold, and silver, whose hues glint in their scales. Mm-hmm. Theirs is the fire of hearth and forge, the cold of high mountain air, the spark of inspiration, and the scouring touch of acid that purifies. That's a stretch. That's a bit of a stretch. Metallic Dragonborn traits, we're going to skip. Yeah, you're humanoid. Yeah, you're medium. Yeah, you walk 30 feet. No, you don't have dark vision.
You walk 30 feet if you feel like it.
If you feel like it. Like, but no more. No more.
Can you imagine? Like you walk, you have to walk 30 feet this round to figure it out.
Figure it out. You just walk in a circle.
Oh God!
All right, metallic ancestry. We're not gonna rehash this. You get to pick one of the five metallic dragon types. You get a breath weapon tied to that dragon type. Mm-hmm. You get a resistance tied to that dragon type.
So this is gonna be a 15-foot cone, not a line. Right?
Yeah.
So just like the gem.
Yeah. So, and like you said, cones tend to be better than lines.
Cones are slightly better than lines depending on like what enemy attacks you in a straight line. What enemy attacks you in a diagonal line?
That's a good point.
Are you in a hallway?
That's like, a good point.
Do you go to do all your fighting in hallways? Cone is better. Cone is better.
Cone is better. Area effect is better than straight line. It's going to have the same damage calculation as what we've said. So it's a souped up damage calculation. It's going to be the same number of times per day as what we've talked about with all the other ones that aren't the OG. Again, you get draconic resistance. You're limited to the same fire, ice, acid, poison, and lightning. Lightning's best. and then you get your extra feature as a metallic dragonborn. You get a metallic breath weapon on top of your regular breath weapon.
So you're going to have two breath
weapons.
You have
two breath weapons.
That's twice as many.
Twice as many. At fifth level, you gain a second breath weapon. When you take the attack action on your turn, you can replace one of your attacks with an exhalation in a 15-foot cone. Save DC for this breath is 8 plus your con mod plus your proficiency bonus. It's a dex save. Whenever you use this trait, choose one of the following. Number one, Envenerating Breath. Each creature... Enervating Breath. Each creature in the cone must succeed on a constitution saving throw or become incapacitated until the start of your next turn.
This is good. This is good.
It's just...
Status effects.
Yeah, there we go.
We're missing those.
Indeed. Repulsion Breath. Each creature in the cone must succeed on a strength saving throw or be pushed 20 feet away from you and be knocked prone.
That's really good.
Yeah. Once you use your metallic breath weapon, you can't do so again until you finish a long rest. So... My thoughts on this, it's very similar to the Chromatic with a feature swap. The secondary breath is pretty cool. Basically, a one-turn stun or a big push and a knockdown.
Yeah, is this tied still? Like, so is my proficiency bonus pooled in for both?
Yes. So okay. It shares the same resource. So
okay.
It is...
I don't have... If I have four proficiency bonus of four, I don't get four of each of these breaths. I get four total breaths, but exactly. I get to pick between the two. Yeah. Okay.
And the main thing about this is just utility, the being able to choose, do I want to do damage or am I in a situation where a stun is actually works out better? Maybe my barbarian wants to fucking chop a head off, stun, okay, I'll let the barbarian take care of it. Or maybe this goblin is standing too close to a cliff edge. Bam, I'll just knock him off.
Maybe there's a cliff right there. Like,
rather than do damage, maybe I can take care of this thing in a single breath.
So, you know? Sorry, was this one conical as well or is this a single target?
Conical as well.
So you can cone like a bunch of kobolds off a fucking ledge?
Yep. Or you can cone a bunch of kobolds to be stunned.
Or I could cone a bunch of kobolds into a pit of spikes.
Yeah, absolutely. That they built.
That they built themselves because they're kobolds.
Yeah, exactly.
Maybe I could cone a bunch of kobolds underneath an X that the kobolds drew on the ground where my wizard can mage hand like the lever to pull and drop the rocks from the net above.
That the kobolds put up.
That the kobolds put up.
Okay. Yeah,
kobolds.
Exactly. Absolutely.
And I'm a dragon.
Do all those things.
I'm a dragon and kobolds are... I'm a dragon born and kobolds are a fucking abomination to me.
I mean, maybe, sure. But either way, this is something the metallic dragonborn can do that the chromatic one cannot.
Yes. That the chromatic one or the, I would argue,
or the gem. One. Yeah, or the gem
they
one.
They do their own cool shit.
Yeah, they could do that. Yeah, they're doing their own cool shit.
So far, I'm not picking the chromatic, ever again.
Like, I would just because I like the aesthetic. I think they're cool. But yeah, they are lacking.
What is with the disparity here? Like, why did they do that?
I don't know.
It's very obvious.
Yes, it is.
Fuck.
I don't know.
You had... This was your chance.
Yeah, exactly.
Make them all even.
Literally, if a player of mine was like, I want to do a chromatic one, but it's a little underwhelming. Can we add something to it? I go, you want an intimidation proficiency?
I got something for you. Yeah, give him a character sheet fucking intimidation's bubbled in already.
Yeah, exactly.
Hey, you fill this one out around that, okay? Don't erase that.
Yeah, exactly.
Hey, you know what? You write a little E next to it. Like, now it's double that.
Yeah, there we go.
Expertise.
Absolutely.
Get mad.
Get mad. Get real mad.
Tell people you're going to sue them.
any thoughts, any questions, any comments, concerns about the Dragonborn?
I'm concerned about the Chromatic Dragonborn, but just talked about that. It'll be fine. Just give them intimidation, proficiency, and expertise. That's not enough.
No, but it's something. Then let's get ready for a long rest.
Okay.
Let's go. Are we going?
Let's fucking go, dude.
Let's go. Are we here?
Are
we there yet?
Welcome to the long rest.
Hi.
Will, say something long.
Long.
Long rest. It's gross.
Stupid.
Hey, we're going to build a beholder now.
Indeed we are. I think we're almost done.
We're almost done.
I feel like we were super on it with the first three, and for this guy, we fell apart.
He gets away from us every time.
We mentally fell apart. It's like, I can barely even picture what this guy looks like.
It's because we know what next year is going to be.
Yeah, already moved on to the next year.
We are. When are we announcing that? Next year? Are we just not going to say anything? All of a sudden, there's going to be new podcast art.
Yeah.
Watch our thumbnail, and then you'll know.
Yeah, let's not say anything, because I have planned for the first episode of the new year to be on topic.
So yes, perfect.
It'll be a new thumbnail and the topic, and you're going to read it, and you're going to know.
There are three people who know what next year's topic are going to be.
Yeah.
Me, Will, And then someone I told in person that I won't tell. I'm not going to tell everybody. You know who you are.
I mean, to be fair, Tom also knows. Oh, and so damn. Does my fiance.
Okay. There are five people who know. One of them is Tom.
One of them is Tom.
And one of them is a guy.
There's somebody.
That is
not necessarily associated with the show, but he's also.
It's absolutely. Absolutely associated with
okay, the show. Let's build this beholder.
Okay.
I'll do the feature.
Oh, yeah.
We're giving this guy the Gem Dragon spectral wings.
Yes.
I keep picturing it amethyst, but you know what? Let's just, whatever the color of the weird crystal moldy cheese skin is.
Yeah. The most current art from the Hobble Man in the Discord is, and yes, that Hobble Man, is wingless because we're doing that now, but it's just the moldy cheese skin and not the crystalline one yet.
Dude, I was so excited for our final beholder. I was like, we got this. We've done three great ones. We're going to do our best one now. This undisputably is our worst one.
It's the worst looking one. It's the
worst one.
But it has some of the best beams.
That's true. The beams are straight fire. I mean, they're not actual fire because they're things like blood and ghosts, but they're fucking cool.
Rick the Greek Rancher has a fire beam. And it's because I on the DM episode, mm-hmm. I like took the liberty to give him that specifically because I was like, do our beholders shoot fire? I don't know.
Well, this one does.
This one doesn't yet. Maybe there's still time.
What beam are we giving it today?
The beam is going to be the conical push beam.
Okay. So we're giving it the metallic breath beam.
It is not only conical. Yeah, the metallic.
It is very conical.
It is very conical. It's conical, not only conical, but also iconic. Iconical.
Sure.
Beholder.
Oh, dear God.
Cone.
That's the worst.
Ickle.
Yes, sure. Absolutely.
I don't know what to say about that last.
It pushes things 20 feet specifically.
Yeah.
Preferably over cliffs.
So if there's a bunch of kobolds in the room, fuck them.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah. Push them into their own traps or off a cliff.
So we got a new merch store.
Yeah.
Go check it out. We got new designs. We got new products.
A lot of stuff in
yeah,
there.
We got a new merch manager. She's all over it. And
I got hella stickers.
Yeah, we got hundreds of products.
There's so many good stickers. Super Quest Saga merch up the Yang, dude.
The designs are so good these days, and we're working on more.
Yeah. I'm showing the camera stuff, and it's not fucking on.
Oh,
good
yeah,
for me.
Yeah. Yeah, if you didn't notice it, we were wearing merch on our bodies today.
Yeah.
And, it's a great way to support the show. So if you like what we do here and you want to show some sort of support, go buy a mug. Go buy a shirt.
Yeah.
Christmas is on the way. If you want, like, merch, maybe tell your loved ones, like, hey, go to the store, buy me some stuff.
Or for whatever holiday you celebrate, too. Like, yeah, Will and I celebrate Christmas, yeah, but absolutely. That doesn't mean that you guys do.
Yeah, whatever you celebrate. Or if it involves gift giving,
yeah,
maybe you can give a Dungeon Cast gift.
Give a Dungeon Cast gift to someone in need. And everybody needs it. Everybody needs it.
Absolutely. It's undeniable.
Yeah. Sometimes I wear merch not on my body. That's my spectral form, but that's Brian exclusive Dungeon Cast merch.
Yeah, we don't sell that stuff.
No.
We have a Patreon if you want to support us that way.
Yeah, yeah.
We have unique content.
I remember Patreon.
We have exclusive content, exclusive products. We have a new design coming out, which we just got the art piece for. I'm going to be announcing it on the Discord day of this recording. If you want a piece of that, go check us out on Patreon and support us. That's another way we keep the lights on here.
Lots of new art on the way. If we need something like merch or whatever, or merch, no. If we need like a piece of studio equipment, that's the pool.
That's how we
do it.
Exactly. We've actually made a lot of upgrades lately.
Yeah.
And it's I think greatly improved the show.
Yeah, me too. And it's all thanks to you guys over on Patreon or like whoever be dropping us cash from wherever, because people do that every once in a while. They drop us a line like, hey, go buy yourself something nice, baby girls. And I say, ooh, thank you. I will.
Indeed.
So thanks a lot, you guys. We really appreciate everything that you guys do for us, including share the show. Thank you guys for all the iTunes reviews. Holy shit, a lot of them came in.
Yeah, they did. Thank you. And you know what? We're almost there. We just need like 15 more. So if you're hearing this now and you haven't left a review, do it now. We're so close.
Yeah.
You could be the one. You could be number 1,000.
Yes. So the goal is to get us 1,000 iTunes reviews, which is a big milestone for podcasts.
It is.
So thank you guys so much for coming out and doing that. We usually get like a handful every week, like – you know, some weeks it's zero, yeah, some weeks it's
creeping.
Like five.
We've been creeping up.
And it's been steady like that for a long time. They're very wonderful. They're all very fucking wonderful. So thanks to everybody who's left an iTunes review. Seeing
you
that big wave of them, though, was like, oh my gosh.
That
this
was
is
really
so
cool.
It's like I was thinking about the very first time. I didn't know Facebook told people it was your birthday.
Early in the Facebook days
when I had a Facebook, and I was like getting all these birthday wishes, like these people fucking remember me. I was like, oh wait, no, this is not the case necessarily.
Yeah, they were reminded of me.
So really, I attribute that happiness feeling I felt to Mark Zuckerberg. Thank you, Mark Zuckerberg.
Oh boy,
that's the only thing I'll thank you for.
I think with that, we can call it a game.
Yeah, I think so. We have a P.O. box.
Oh sure, yeah.
The address for the P.O. box is in the description below. Send us some stuff. Like, there was a lot of, I know Chemicult from Discord was saying that there was a lot of hype about him specifically wanting to send us stuff. And I was like, you weren't the only one, though, man. There was a lot of people talking that heat.
Yeah. Yeah.
Hey, it's time to buck up. It's time to buck up. We got a P.O. box. Send us some stuff. I don't care what it is. Postcard, a letter, something off our Amazon wish list.
Yeah. We could read fan mail on the podcast.
If you send us something, we'll read it. Because I have to go to a place to get that shit. And I won't forget.
Indeed.
Emails is one thing. You send me a fucking letter, that's gonna touch my heart.
That's something special.
That's something special, guys. We're going to call it a game.
All right. We're calling it a game. We'll talk to you guys later.
We're calling it a game.
Game over.
Bye.
Hello, dear stranger. I'd like to introduce you to something new, or perhaps something very, very old. The Heresies of Radolf Burntwine is a horror fantasy medical mystery following the titular monk turned traveling medical investigator. Follow Radolf as he navigates a nightmare world in which viruses are gods and the human race are not their favored children. Steeped in history and an aesthetic that can only be described as a combination of occult academia and laboratory Judaica, the Heresies of Radolf Burntwine have been described as Umberto Eco meets H.P. Lovecraft. For more information, check out the Patreon at thorb.info. But take care, dear stranger, for some truths are best left unknown.